This series, you know, it kind of, God just dumped this revelation on me one day while I was on my trainer, and it started back right before Easter. My brother was talking to me about the different feasts that were fulfilled in Jesus' resurrection, and so we were talking about it a lot because he was kind of just getting used to this idea. I've been teaching it for a number of years, but I'm on my trainer. I'm like, God, why thousands of years to prepare, and why did it all culminate on that one week of Jesus' death and resurrection? Why? And God just dumped this on me, and he said to me, because of the fullness of the time. It took that long for me to prepare the human race for what I'm trying to do, and that is bring freedom, true freedom, to the human race. And I'm like, what? And then last week, well, even the weeks before, Jen starts singing this song, you know, Waymaker, Promise Keeper, Miracle Worker, Light in the Darkness. That's who you are. And I'm like, holy cow! You know, God, you're telling me that you have been working this light in the darkness for thousands of years, and here we are now still trying to experience and understand what you meant to do when you said it was for freedom that Christ set us free. And then, of course, last week, Jen had that verse up there. I'm like, okay, God, I accept the fact that you're talking to us now. This is something that you want me to say. But you have to understand, God, that this might be a tough pill to swallow. This could be some meat that has to be chewed on, because what you're telling me here is really not what the church in general believes or understands. This way? Okay, great. Lloyd just told me to move over. All right. So, you know, and so this revelation, you know, that came to me, that, and I've preached on that verse in Galatians 5:1 many, many times, you know. And then I'm like, you know, because I had talked to Cliff way back then about doing a series of messages about this. And he said, well, we got this coming up and that coming up, and it's going to put us toward the end of May. And I'm like, wow, that seems like a long way from Easter. But here we are around Memorial Day, and it's going to surround Memorial Day. And I believe you're going to be as amazed as I am, as I was, how God has used this to help us understand what's most important to him. Because if you'd ask somebody, what's most important to you, like Jen asked us last week, you know, name three characteristics of how you see yourself. Well, you know, and I did it, you know, those of us, and Mom and Nancy were there with me, you know, and we did it. And I really didn't like the things I came up with about myself, right? Aggressive, competitive, fearless, you know. I'm like, what? Oh, well. Anyway, if I was to ask you, you know, what's most important to God, most people would say love. That they would say love. And I understand, and there's no question that the purpose in life is love. But even that has become to mean so many different things for so many different people. But what's most important to God is freedom, because without freedom, his character and who he is cannot be transferred over to his beloved creation. So anyway, the story of the Bible is God being a light in the darkness, seeking to bring freedom, true freedom, to his beloved creation, human beings, because that's who he is, that's what he is, and he knows there can be no true, abundant, enjoyable life except with freedom. Let's all read together and aloud Galatians 5:1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Now, wherever you're in your room, right, whoever you're with, turn to them and say, why did Christ set you free? And your answer is, for freedom. Freedom in and of itself is the goal. That is the reason. That is why everything has come to pass. For freedom. It is for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Now, that verse right there, we're going to be talking all day about this verse, the preceding chapter of what Paul is talking about here. But it's important for you to understand that the goal that God has for you is true freedom, and that there is a tendency within yourself to go back into slavery. Okay. Oh, we're going to talk about that. Now, I know when I was in seminary, you know, and I tried to find the original source for this quote. I couldn't find it anywhere. I'm not sure if it was Billy Graham or Billy Sunday. But back in the day before media, right, evangelists used to say, if you want to know what God is doing, read the Bible. If you want to know what Satan is doing, read the newspaper. Right? Well, nobody reads newspapers anymore, right? Well, I guess Cliff does. The Times News, right? Good for you. But really, I mean, all this media buzz, everything everybody's watching and listening to, okay, that is not, somebody told me this past week, you know, well, I guess the coronavirus is what, that's God trying to get our attention. I said, no, God does not create coronaviruses, right? If you want to know what the devil's doing, listen to the media. If you want to know what God is doing, read the Bible. What we're going to do today is read the Bible. We're going to find out what God is doing. He's a light in the darkness. He's a way maker, a promise keeper. He's a miracle worker. He is bringing freedom to the human race. And it's been thousands of years, and we're still struggling, but he's still working. He never stops working, right? Never stops working, never stops working. He's I love it. He never stops working. He's still working today. Even when you don't feel it, even when you don't think it, he's still working. Working for what? To bring freedom to the human race. So don't be surprised when there's this great struggle and people trying to stop freedom. Amen. Here I started preaching, I'm still on my second slide of introduction. The most important thing to God is freedom. And that is, I'm going to define it, the ability to pursue your best life without restriction. The ability to pursue your best life without restriction. Therefore, and we're thinking in terms of the whole Bible, Genesis to Revelation, okay? What is the thrust of it? Let's not lose the forest for the trees. We're talking forest today, right? Not tree, not forest gum, the forest. No, not the individual trees, but the forest. And that is, God wants us to be free. That is, to pursue our best life without restriction. Therefore, evil is defined as that which prevents freedom or restricts freedom. But you're like, well, I know where you're going with this, Rick, right? Let's read together John 8:32 and John 10:10. This is Jesus talking. You shall know the truth. Now, truth. What is truth? Pilate said, what is truth? Everybody's got their own version of truth. Well, we're gonna follow up on that a little bit today. But truth, parentheses, correct information. Correct information. Satan deceives the whole world. We're going to see this in Revelation 12. He deceives the whole world by disseminating misinformation, beginning with Adam and Eve. Amen. The thief comes to rob, kill, and destroy. I have come to bring life, and that abundantly. That is, I've come to give you freedom to pursue your best life with your free will. That's what it means for Jesus to say, I've come to give you life. But there is an adversary who's doing everything he can to stop that, to prevent that. And that's what makes him evil. So the Bible is this record of God's desire to share his freedom with his beloved creation, those beings made in his image. To be made in his image means that we can comprehend and appreciate and use responsibly freedom. Being made in his image, that is us, the human race. And that's why free will is such a basic concept and the key to understanding everything. You've heard me talk about this before. But, you know, there's fatalists and there's legalists, you know, in the so-called Christian religion, and they miss the entire biblical big picture. Right? What's a fatalist? A fatalist is somebody, well, let's just go on. The book of Galatians, okay, Galatians 5:1, it was for freedom that Christ set you free. Do not, therefore, go back under the yoke of slavery, but keep standing firm. The book of Galatians was written because Christians were going back into legalism and forfeiting their freedom in Christ. What is legalism? Legalism is abdicating one's personal freedom of choice to another's authoritative laws, hoping that those laws are made from correct information by those who know better than us and truly have our well-being in mind. That's a mouthful, isn't it? Lord, help me here. Okay, so legalism is when we look to the rules, right? Like when I was growing up in church, right? The rules were your hair had to be off your ears. You know, women couldn't wear jewelry. They couldn't wear slacks. There was all these rules, right? And I know my friends who were Catholics, they had all these rules, right? And the thing about religion, I'm going to be talking about religion and government somewhat, well, probably quite a bit in this series, because religion and government are the enemies of freedom. Oh my, what? Yeah, because they make the laws. They make the laws that legalists look to as the authority in their life, that I don't have to make a choice. I can just follow the law. I can just follow the rule. What's the rule? And so the Catholic Church, you know, we know best what God needs. What God wants from you is to light candles and give your money and say the masses. They had all these rules. Don't eat meat on Fridays. You know, they have all these rules that people are supposed to follow because they know better. They know God better, and we're only looking out for your salvation. We're only looking out for your well-being, after all. What they really wanted was the control of the people. Now, I'll be getting to that in a minute. But the fact of the matter is that there is something within the human nature, Paul calls it a desire in the flesh for enslavement, that wants somebody else to be responsible. I'll give, you know, I abdicate my choice, my freedom to you because I just don't feel qualified. So that's legalism. And of course, you can see, I mean, this message is really not about what we're going through right now. We're on a very slippery bank right now. You know that. You know, I've never minced words about the fact that I believe that politicians in themselves, they may start out with great intentions, but ultimately, you know, they always promised, you know, that they know they follow the science. They know better than us, and they only have our well-being in mind, right? And so we can make the laws and the rules that govern your life, right? Now, what Paul was dealing with was the Jewish religion, who again had all these laws that people were supposed to follow. He says, I fear for you. You're following days, months, seasons, and years. You know, all these rules and laws that other people are making up. Why would you do that when you've been set free in Christ? Well, because there's something in us that wants to abdicate our freedom to some other authority because they know better than us. And then, of course, the other one is fatalism. Well, what will be, will be. I see this a lot, you know, I mean, in Christians. Well, what will be, will be. Everything's got a reason, you know, whatever. And that actually is a form of Gnosticism. Paul wrote the letter to Corinthians because the Corinthians had gone into this thing called Gnosticism, which says, well, it really doesn't matter what I or anybody else does with my body because I'm a spirit being, right? And so we just mindlessly follow along, whatever, you know, because it doesn't really matter, because the earthly life does not matter at all. And again, that is a distortion, and it is an attempt of Satan to bring into our life a confusion from what God's ultimate purpose is. And that is for us to be led by His Spirit in true freedom so we can experience our best life and our full potential using our free will. So, what will be, we're not puppets on a string, you know, we're not to abdicate our life choices to an authority that knows better than us. God's desire is that He would put His Spirit within us and that we would then be led by His Spirit into true freedom, what our life could be and should be. And I want to say right now that whole concept is so utterly lost in the world. The United States is really the one place, and I know most of you listening to me right now have not been out of the United States. Maybe you were on a cruise ship. Maybe, you know, you got dropped off at a... But to go into the rest of the world and experience that the lack of a culture that has this foundation, you know, it's almost incomprehensible. They see themselves as servants of the state, to serve the state. In America only, in the United States only, is where the citizens see the state as God talks about it in the Bible, and that is to serve them in their attempt to live their best life abundantly. Now, the biblical record is the story of how Israel, the nation God chose to bring freedom to the human race, kept forfeiting their freedom and going back into slavery, okay? And I want to say, you know, Paul's talking to Christians in Galatians who experienced this wonderful sense of salvation, Jesus Christ coming into the life, and yet they were plodding back into slavery to legalism. There is this tendency, as I've said, in the flesh to want to go back to slavery. It's just easier. You know, in the Civil War, when the slaves were emancipated, many of them chose to remain with their owners because life was just simpler that way. 1 Corinthians 10, 11, and 12. Now, these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. Meaning, the Old Testament was written for a reason. He's the way maker, the promise keeper, the light in the darkness. He's still working. He's been working for thousands of years. Let's look back at history and see what has God been trying to accomplish here. Well, okay, let's just do a real brief history, shall we? God made Adam and Eve to be free and gave them the rules necessary to stay free. Now, wait a minute, Rick, you said we're free. We don't have no rules, no rules. And this is the great irony or the insight that you need to understand is that true freedom requires guidance to stay free. It requires discipline. You know, you read the Proverbs, there's discipline required in order to remain free. And that's why people go back into slavery. They don't want to let the Spirit of God bring them the discipline necessary to stay free and remain free to pursue their best life. Now, so he gave them the rules, right? What was the rules? Don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Oh, one rule. Cool. Great. Well, what comes slithering into the garden, right? Not slithering, I know. He walked upright until he, I know all that. But okay, here comes the serpent, the most beautiful of all creatures. And what does he do? He promises them even greater freedom. Has God said? Has God said? Well, he knows you're just going to be like him. Okay? In other words, you can be even more free. You don't have to obey his rules. You don't have to, you know, there's no limits. And of course, he knows that if once you reject God and his, because he made the system, he knows what it takes to stay free and be free. And so this is what but Satan said, nah, that's not necessary. You can be like God. So what's that like? Well, it's like, you know, if you're a parent and you've got little kids, right? And let's say they go out, now they're finally on two wheels and they can ride. Not even have training, they can ride. Now they're 3 or 4 years old, they can ride their bicycle. And you say, do not go in the street. You cannot go in the street. You might get hit by a car. And what if your neighbor comes across the street and says, have your parents said don't go in the street? Well, they just know that if you went in the street, you would have as much fun as they do when they ride the bicycle. You can have greater freedom. Go on the street. Go anywhere you want. Ride in front of cars. Nothing's going to happen. See, this is this dissemination of misinformation. Satan always comes and makes a promise that he knows is ultimately going to bring those who think they're getting greater freedom back into slavery. Okay, so... So there's two different views of freedom, right? There's a freedom, like you talk about, you know, when you talk to a non-believer, you know, and you say you're a Christian, you're like, oh, well, that man alive, you got all these rules. That's a terrible way to live. right? Because they see Christianity as a very restrictive way to live. What do you mean? I can't go out and have sex with a different woman every week? What do you mean? I can't go out and get drunk? I can't do drugs? Why would I want that kind of freedom? I want to be free to do whatever I want whenever I want. Right? And we, you know, but you know, we know, well, yeah, but that's really a lousy way to live because you're going to ruin your life. Yeah, but I want the greater freedom. Right? It's just like, you know, the American and the Russian, we're talking, and the American says, well, in the United States, we've got freedom. Hey, I can go down to the White House and shout out, down with Reagan. This was back in the 80s, right? Down with Reagan. Nothing's even going to happen to me. Nobody really cares. And the Russian says, well, if I can go down in front of the Kremlin and I can shout, down with Reagan, and nothing happens to me either. Two different views. That was funny, right? Two different views of freedom, right? One's distorted, one's correct. Which one are you? So the third point of this brief history, and there's 4 to 7 coming up on a different slide, but God began a plan to restore freedom to the human race that would take thousands of years to accomplish. Thousands of years. Why thousands of years? Well, Galatians 4 says he needed the fullness of the time. And when we're going to be talking next week about the feasts that were fulfilled in the week that Jesus died and spent 3 days and 3 nights in the tomb and rose from the dead. All of those feasts directly relate to the shadow and the promise that God said, I am going to set my people free. And when we look over those four, so it took thousands of years talking to his people and making Israel this example, this visible proof of what he was doing, working in the darkness, a light in the darkness, working, trying to bring the human race to the place where they could actually appreciate, understand, and use responsibly the freedom he created them to have. Everybody say, use responsibly. Thank you. Okay, the freedom he created them to have. It took thousands of years. Have we got there yet? We're still working on it, aren't we? We're still working on it. God's still working on it. Now, Galatians 5:13 says, for you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. So, we were just talking about that, weren't we? Talking about the fact that there's these two views of freedom. One person says, well, if I was really free, I would have different women coming and having sex with me all the time. I would be able to drink and do drugs and never have a hangover or never get addicted. You know, if I had true freedom, I could do whatever I want and wherever. That would be taking your freedom to an opportunity for the flesh, right? An opportunity for license with a rejection of God and his wisdom that says, hey, you might not want to do that. And in fact, if you do that, you're going to die. Okay. Now, so here I'm going to introduce this concept. Freedom is both personal and political. Freedom is both personal and political. I know in today, in 2020, the church has tried to so spiritualize freedom that they have lost a complete understanding of what the Old Testament did, what Jesus did with Pilate and the priests, and what the church has done and the true church has done in the 2,000 years since Christ rose from the dead. But freedom is both personal and political. And if you're someone who just wants to spiritualize it away, I'm telling you, you're missing the big biblical picture. When God is on the march for freedom, he wants you to be free indeed and not just in spirit. Amen? So here we go. We're going to read in Galatians chapter 4 in a minute. But the flesh actually desires to be enslaved, and it wars against the spirit, which desires true freedom. When your spirit's brought back to life by faith in Jesus Christ, Your spirit longs for freedom, right? And but at the same time, your flesh, it still wants to go back into slavery to the addictions of its lusts, because that's what it is. So number one, the flesh wants things that can be addictively destructive, and ultimately deprives themselves of their own freedom. I have listed there: food, sex, drugs, money. These things all work together in the flesh to create this own your personal enslavement. You know, whether it be an addiction, whether it be a drive that's just, you know, for materialism, you know, whether it be broken relationships, broken families, you know, whatever it could be, the flesh thinks it's being free, but ultimately it goes back into slavery again. And then the second aspect of the flesh that prevents and works against freedom is that the flesh wants things that deprives others of freedom. We know one of the great wisdoms of our founding fathers was they said, your freedom ends where my nose begins, right? Well, here's the thing. People have in their self, in their nature, in their sinful nature, the desire for things like power, greed, abuse, control, right? And, you know, someone had just wrote recently, you know, that they couldn't imagine what would have, you know, what these households are like where there's abusers in the home and the kids can't even get out. Well, you know, that's the flesh. That's somebody using their authority and their position to steal from somebody else their freedom and their rights because of a fleshly addiction. And so, you know, when you wonder, well, what's in it for these politicians, right? What's in it for them to shut everything down, to control everything? Because they want control, power. That's why. It's not complicated. It's simple. It's easy. Read the Bible. Amen. Galatians 4, 1 through 11. Now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, although he is owner of everything. Now we're talking about Paul's going back and saying why it took thousands of years. It took thousands of years. He's waiting for the child to grow up to where he could understand, accept, and use responsibly the freedom he created him to have. When the heir is a child, he's no different from a slave. These are the rules, this is what you do, and it's because I said so. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by the father. So also we, while we were children, were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world. Elemental things of the world, quite simply being all these laws and regulations and things that the flesh wants and strives for that puts them back into slavery. But when the fullness of the time came, if you're in your room there, say to somebody, when the fullness of the time came, right? Again, you know, we're talking 3,000 years from the time that God first established us until Christ came into the world. God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Okay, let me just go back there a minute. We're talking about a mindset here. Do you see yourself as a servant of the state or as a son of God? Do you see yourself? What is your purpose in life? Most of the world, people see themselves. We were just in England last June. Even talking to people in England, a free country, people see themselves there as a servant of the state. And we got into these conversations, and I'm wearing my NRA hat, right? And you know, and they're like, well, you Americans are all rebels. Yes! Yes! We want freedom. All right. Okay, therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. Okay, so what he's saying is, it's in your mind.
Are you a servant of the state? Are you a servant of religion? Or are you a son of God? However, at that time, when you did not know God, you were slaves. There's always this slavery and freedom contrast, isn't there? You were slaves to those which by nature are no gods. All right. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how is it that you turn back again to the weak and worthless elemental things to which you desire to be enslaved all over again? Why? Because it's easier. Somebody tell me what to do. May 21st? No. May 22nd? Yes. Oh, I'm so glad I know what to do now, because they know better and they're concerned for my safety. Am I being sarcastic? Well, that's for you to decide. Nancy's probably cringing in her. You observe days and months and seasons and years. I fear for you that perhaps I've labored over you in vain. Why? You forgot how free you are. You forgot what it's like to be a son of God. You forgot that you're led by your spirit. All right. So the path to enslavement. How are we doing for time? Good? All right. Are you all tired of this yet? No? Okay. Good. The path to enslavement. First of all, you've got to take freedom for granted. You can't. You just don't realize the value of freedom. You know, we're seeing that in our world today. You know, everybody listening to my voice, you have not lived under oppression. You've not. You don't know what it's like. And so you simply take it for granted. Memorial Day is coming up next week. I'll be talking a whole lot more about that. And in fact, I'm going to end this message if I get to it. That, you know, the whole idea of freedom is that it is worth dying for. Because the alternative is enslavement. That's the alternative. All right. Second, the second step, you have to believe Satan's temptation. His temptation is always misinformation. I mean, I'm going to get started a little bit, but I promise not to go too far off on this tangent. But, you know, we've got people locked in their houses, old people sitting there watching the news and believing this is truth. These people have my best interest in mind, and they know what they're talking about. You don't even begin to know how the numbers have been skewed. For every person tested, you know, there's 10 more that have been not tested, at least 10 more that the experts say, that were not tested but have had it and are fine. You know, they put out these numbers of the death rate, and they skew the numbers because they assign COVID death to every person. More than 67% of people who have died from COVID had other major underlying conditions, but the law says you have to report it as a death by COVID. You know, I could go on and on and on. You know, the vast majority of deaths are caused by people who were terminally ill and were thought to probably not survive another 12 months. I could go on and on. The numbers are so skewed, but you're listening to television and it's saying to you, if you go outside, you're going to die. It's misinformation. It's misinformation. And if you want to know what Satan's doing, always look, what's the media telling me? Because he has control of it. You have to believe Satan's misinformation to reject God's rules to stay free. Third step is to become enslaved to one's fleshly desires and emotions. Okay? You understand, right, that prescriptions for anxiety medicine have skyrocketed. You understand that, right? Suicides have skyrocketed. Drug addiction, alcohol addiction. All these things are, you know, they're enslavements to one's flesh because of the grip of fear. Now, and so what do we do? What's the next step in this path to enslavement? Look to other humans to save ourselves from the consequences of sin. And so we're looking for somebody else with the answers. And that's how we become enslaved to a human master. We give our freedom up because we, again, find ourselves trapped in this addiction, whether it be to the news or whether it be to alcohol or drugs or pornography, whatever it might be. We find ourselves trapped in it. We don't know how to get out. And so we say, well, somebody else must have the answer. Maybe Dr. Levine has the answer. Let's listen to her. And then ultimately, because we become enslaved to a human master, loss of freedom, those two great options are religion and government. And religion and government will be judged by God for enslaving his people and preventing them from being free. What the most famous quote of history? Let my people go! God's march for freedom. So this pattern is followed in all civilizations and all cultures. Revelation 12:9, and the great dragon who was thrown down, the serpent of old who was called the devil and Satan. See, we see him in Genesis, giving misinformation and causing the fall. We see him in Revelation. What's he doing? Just doing the same thing. Disseminating misinformation to entrap people, to keep them from being free. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. All right, so Satan's strategy is a dissemination of misinformation by people who are unaware they are his tools. We know better, it's for your own safety. Okay, so government and religion, the beast, when is this service over? To talk. 7 minutes to talk, okay. So government and religion, the beast and the harlot of Revelation 17 and 18, the two great arms of Satan to rob God's... I taught this back in the 80s, right? When we went through Revelation. The two great... in 17 and 18 of Revelation, the beast and the harlot. Who are they? They're the Roman government and they're the Roman Catholic Church. Well, those are specifics. Government and religion. You say, well, how can you say that, Rick? Well, I mean, let's face it. The two of them conspired to murder the Son of God who God sent to the world, right? The Sanhedrin went to Pilate and said, hey, you got to get rid of this guy. He's gonna mess up our whole system of control. Here's the thing. God allows both government and religion as long as they serve their God-given purpose. We'll be talking next week somewhat about Romans chapter 13 or the week after that. But the government has one purpose, and that is to keep a lid on the pot so that evil does not disrupt people's ability to pursue their best life using their free will. That's their role. When they become corrupt and they are no longer condoned by God, when they seek to enslave people with their laws and use them for their own profit and agendas, that is, control and the restriction of freedom. Right. All right. Let's go back and look at God's attempt to use Israel to restore freedom to the human race. This is why Israel is hated by most other nations. This is a really weird thing. I mean, I don't know if there's Israel, this little nation, is literally hated by almost, except for the United States, and in the last administration, including the United States, are hated by almost every nation in the world. Why? Why? Say, well, yeah, why? Let me give you this insight. Take nothing else from this. Understand this. God wants freedom. The devil wants to prevent it. God created Israel to be an example to the world of what freedom is and to bring into the world the Messiah who would deliver people from all of the enslavement that would bring them freedom. Satan wants to prevent that. That's why in Revelation it says, and the woman bore forth a child, and Satan was enraged and did everything he could to kill the woman. And today, all the nations of the world hate Israel because it stands for one thing. It stands for freedom. Okay, let's go on. The flood Abraham left Ur because he was singularly willing to obey God's desire for freedom. Israel, okay, and then the Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Sabbath rest, Feast of the First Fruits, these are all shadows of the substance whose purpose was to set humans free from their sinful nature's inclination to enslavement, both personal and political. So we're going to be talking about that next week. And, okay, that's to now appoint a king for us to judge us like all the nations. This is in 1 Samuel. But the thing was, see, the people of Israel wanted a king. And they told Samuel, who was their judge. The thing was displeasing in the sight of Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." And Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Listen to the voice of the people in regard to all that they say to you. For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. Like all the deeds which they have done since the day that I brought them up from Egypt, even to this day, in that they have forsaken me and served other gods." When people lose control over their flesh, they look to the government and religion to be their savior instead of God. Free people must be able to control their own bodies and minds to do the right thing. Okay, we talked about fatalism and legalism. They are reactions to the loss of control of oneself. Okay, Paul said, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are..." I'm going to land this now. "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything." Okay, even when we talk about, you know, our response to all of these quarantine things, you know, all things are lawful for me. It's no big deal. But I'm not going to be mastered by anything, right? I'm not going to be mastered by anything. And so when we talk about that, you know, we talked a couple weeks ago about fear and fear gripping us and motivating our actions and our direction. In that case, you've been mastered by fear. Okay, it's fine to follow these guidelines. I mean, there certainly are points where it goes into an area of conscience. And, you know, I respect the protesters. I respect people who want to comply with all of the regulations. It doesn't matter. It's a personal conscious thing. But I want you to understand that when people want to control other people, there is a fine line. And history says it keeps moving against freedom. But the great thing about this is God's working in the darkness. You guys can come up. And he's moving. I mean, if you think we're in a struggle now, think 100 years ago. Think 1,000 years ago. Think 2,000 years ago. Man alive, the human race has come a long way. Why? Because God is a way maker, a promise keeper, a miracle worker, a light in the darkness. He is moving his people to freedom. That's where we're going. Galatians 2:20, Jen used this last week. "I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me." Patrick Henry said, "Give me liberty or give me death." How could he say something like that? You've been crucified with Christ, you're already dead. No longer a scare tactic that Satan can use. You're already dead. They understand and appreciate the true cost and value of freedom. They will gladly, like Jesus Christ, give up their mortal life for it. Just like Jesus Christ did. Okay. Has your fullness of the time come? That's my question. Right? You know, you may have prayed a sinner's prayer. I have an idea. If you're a new Christian, you have no idea how deep God's desire for freedom, your freedom from sin, your freedom from controlling habits, your freedom from controlling attitudes and things that are ruining your life, ruining your marriage, ruining your career, whatever. These things, God wants you to be free. He wants you to experience freedom in yourself, in your own life, as your spirit comes out and takes control over your flesh, so that you can experience freedom in spirit and then in deed and in body, and ultimately that freedom becomes something that you live for and love and would die for. Because you understand just how precious it is. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. If you could just bow your heads for a minute with me, I want us to pray a prayer together. Pray this out loud in your living rooms. Pray it out loud and together. Lord Jesus Christ, I do believe that you came to set me free. I want to be free, not in word only, but in deed and truth. I commit my life to you, Lord Jesus. Come and fill my spirit. Help me win this war over my flesh that keeps me enslaved. And Lord, take me into the true freedom, spirit, soul, and body, that you planned for me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Song Waymaker again. I encourage you to focus on Jesus. Lift your hands. You can kneel if you want to, and just reach out to the Lord as we sing.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you, you are here, working in this place. I worship you, I worship you, you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. Lord, I worship you. I worship you.
Sing Waymaker.
You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness.
You're working. You never stop. Never stop.
thank you so much for that freedom that you died to give us. Amen. We're so glad that you joined us today, and we want to encourage you, join us Saturday night right here at 6 o'clock for our praise night, May 23rd. We're going to sing a lot of praise songs and just lift up the name of Jesus. Join together in your living rooms, and let's just have some fun together and praise to our God. He is worthy of our praise. We look forward to seeing you again. Have a great day. God bless you.